In the house of the Lord today. Amen. Amen. I am glad to be here. And it is an honor to, it's my first time teaching Sunday school to all you good people. So be kind. Don't throw any tomatoes at me. I would appreciate it. No, I'm teasing. We're going to dive into the word and we have a great, great lesson today. And if the Lord just helps me and anoints me, I really feel that his word is already anointed. So let's just bow our heads and pray and ask God to speak to us today, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you, first of all, for you, God. You are marvelous. Great are your works, God. Lord, you are just infinitely wonderful, and we seek you today, Lord. Your word is already anointed, Lord, but help us. Let our hearts be good soil so that your word can take root in our lives. Be with us today, we pray, Lord, and we thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So we're going to start first with a trivia question, okay? Now, I have to tell all my students this when I teach. Don't shout out the answer, okay? Just, you know, think about it in your head. But I'm going to ask a trivia question, and we'll see if we can get this right. Which building project took the longest to complete? So, and this is multiple choice, so I'm going to give you choices here, okay? So which building project took the longest to complete? Was it A, the construction of the Pentagon? Was it B, the carving of Mount Rushmore? C, the digging of the Panama Canal. D, the building of the Empire State Building. Or E, the carving and assembling of the Statue of Liberty. Okay, I'm going to read those again. So don't say it out loud if you think you know, all right? Which building project took the longest? And don't Google it, all you people with your phones. I do the same thing when I'm playing my words with friends, you know, trying to look up how to, you know, spell all the words. All right, which building project took the longest? A, construction of the Pentagon. B, the carving of Mount Rushmore. C, the digging of the Panama Canal. That's C. D, the building of the Empire State Building. Or E, the carving and assembling of the Statue of Liberty. Should I play the Jeopardy theme music? What do we think the answer is? Brother Ray, I think. I'm feeling the vibe, Brother Ray. What do you think? What do you think it is? You, Sister Brenda, what do you think? You got an answer? The Pentagon? All right, anyone else have an answer? What do you guys think? Empire State Building. The Panama Canal is the correct answer. Yes. Yes, it was Panama Canal. And by the way, I had no idea when I looked that up either. It was Panama Canal, everyone, took 31 years to dig. Okay. The superhuman task was started and stopped several times due to floods, mudslides, unexpected costs. Back in 1914, it cost the United States $375 million. So this was back in 1914. And a horrific death toll. Almost 30,000 men lost their lives in the building of the Panama Canal so that we could connect two oceans together for trade, for all of that. Very, very high cost to finish that. But that is what today's lesson is about how God will finish the work. When we think about all of these things that are around us. I don't know about you, but it doesn't really, I don't ever just come into this beautiful, amazing sanctuary and just sit down and ponder, how many years did it take to build this? But it did. Someone had to start from the bottom up. Someone had to build the foundation, set out the structure, right? Someone had to pour the concrete. Someone had to put in the electrical wires for us to enjoy what we have. I don't know about you, but I don't really think about it when I get into my car, all of the different components that are necessary for that car to run. I mean, even the lug nuts on the wheels. Without those lug nuts, we wouldn't be able to drive. Something as simple as that. All of this stuff, there is an end result that we appreciate. I appreciate the end result of air conditioning in the summer. I don't know who put all that together, but whoever did, they're awesome. I appreciate whoever put together natural grass with the furnace and the heat and all that so that we could be warm in the winter. I don't know who did that, but I'm very appreciative. Somebody did. There was some process that ended with an end result that we can enjoy. And we can look at all that and we can be like, wow, that's awesome. But when it comes to our own lives, we're a process. We're not finished. We're not. We're not perfect. I don't know about you, but I'm not. I was telling Sister Sharon just this week, I had asked the Lord to forgive me several times because people driving were driving me crazy, cutting me off. And I'm glad you all weren't in the car with me and just like, and all that. I'm like, oh, Jesus, forgive me, Lord. I'm not showing the love of the Lord. I'm so sorry. But today's lesson is about how God will finish the work. A lot of times we don't think about the process, but we enjoy the end results. So let's take a look at how we are a work in progress. And we're going to start with Judges chapter 6. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to do a lot of Bible reading. So I don't know if it's on your phones or if you have the good book with you. But we're going to start in Judges chapter 6. I like reading from it. We're going to start with verse 12. And I'm going to read it. It's a little bit lengthy, okay? So bear with me. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. And I'm going to go through till, okay? And said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. All right, that's good. We like that. I love the encouraging stuff. That's awesome. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is it that this has befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So Gideon's saying, okay, if you're who you say you are, where have you been? That's what Gideon's saying. Where have you been? We're in the hands of the Midianites. We're starving. We've got nothing. Where's the God of before who did all that stuff with our forefathers? If this is who you are. Okay, so, Gideon, you might just need to be quiet because you are speaking to, the Lord here. But listen, God is so patient with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I'm sure we've all had questions like that in our past. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? So how am I going to do that? How am I going to save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. So what is he doing? He's giving excuses. You sure you want me to do it? I mean, first of all, I don't have any money. And second of all, I'm the lowest of the low in my family. So, surely someone else is more important that can handle the job. Sometimes we have excuses, right? And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. So more encouragement. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. So Gideon's fine. So if it's you and what you say is true, then give me a sign. Okay? Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Here's the deal. So we're not finished. Okay? But here's the thing. God already has it prepared for you. his purpose and his destiny in your life. It's already been, he's got it. And not only does he have that, he knows your steps. He's ordered your steps. Not only that, but he loves you so much that he's going to be with you every step of the way. I mean, Gideon is questioning the Almighty God, and the entire time, God's like, I got you. I got you. Don't fear. Don't fear. You're all right. I'm going to be with you. He said, you single-handedly are going to be the one that overcomes the Midianites. Now, the Midianites were a vicious group. And if you go on and read the rest of the story, we know exactly what God does to Gideon. He says, hey, by the way, you've got too many. You got too many men. We're going to bring it down, okay? So you got too many. 30,000, that's too much. Bring it down. Let's bring it down to 300. Now, the Midianites, they weren't just by themselves. They had several other groups with them, like the Amalekites. I mean, they were all together. Like, woohoo, yeah, they're having a good time. And Gideon's got 300 men. But the entire time, God was with him, saying, I got you, don't be afraid. And we all know what happens. The Lord showed up, and the Midianites turned on themselves. And there was an amazing victory. It's always easy because hindsight's 20/20. So for us reading the scripture, we can be like, praise God, hallelujah, woo, yeah. But what happens when we're going through it? What happens when you're looking at those bills that you can't pay? What happens when the doctor gives you that diagnosis and that fear hits you? What happens then? It's easy to tell the story of David and Goliath because we know how that story ends. But David, in the midst of that fight, he had to rely and trust on the one who was going to bring him through and just hold on to that. And he did. He's like, I know God's got me. The same God who delivered me from the lion and the bear is going to deliver us from Goliath. I want that kind of faith. I want that kind of faith that when I'm staring at that obstacle, that fear doesn't overtake me. But I say, the same God who delivered me before is the same God who's going to deliver me again. Because he's going to finish the work. Amen? All right, so let's talk about Christmas. Now, I know that it's March, but all my fellow parents out here, and my husband's not here yet, but I'm picking on him, right? So at Christmas time, we buy presents for our kids. I don't know about you, but I get so excited. I think I probably enjoy it just as much as they do, and just wrapping the presents, and I'm so excited. And when the boys were younger, right, there were three words that my husband hated at Christmas time. Some assembly required. Heather. It's like, honey, there's this little thing, just a couple little, you know. Why are you buying this stuff? It's just going to go into a landfill, you know, and all that. And, you know, right? You see the pretty picture on the box, and you're just like, aw, they're going to love that. And then you open it up, and everything just goes falling out, you know. Oh, I got to put it together? And my husband's great, because those of you who know me, you know that I love books. I'm a nerd. I'm a writer. I'm a reader. I'm a everything. But when it comes to books, that's what I am. So I have a lot of them. So some women have shoes. Yeah. I have books. And I'll go and buy more books. And I'll bring more books home. You bought more? Where are you going to put them? I don't know. I'll find somewhere. But he buys me birthday presents, Christmas presents. See, he's got it good because all he has to buy me are bookshelves. And I'm happy because I can put more books on the bookshelves. And so right now, since we just moved into the home, we have all my books are in tubs still, like tubs. And he's like, honey, now that it's your spring break this week, maybe you can go through all of the books and put them on. You know, I'm like, well, I got to get more shelves. And then what happens with the shelves? My husband's got to. But we're going to be putting up bookshelves this week. So anyway, some assembly required, I'm sure. Think of like before and after photos. I love those. Man, I got this. I'm going to go work out and I'm going to eat salads. That's going to be me with a cheeseburger. And then all bets are off. Because why do you think we want to get rich quick? Tell me what I got to do to get. And the thing is about God, he's all about process. Why? Because. And that means that I'm going to go through the process. So when we're looking at heart level, Maybe he's trying to say, hey, listen, I just need you. One of the things that I remind myself with a lot is that he's not surprised by me. He's not surprised by my, he's not surprised. Whatever it is you're going through, he's not surprised by it. He's beginning. And if we truly understood that and grasped that, that first got you, he knows. He knows what you're going through. And I just want to add, you know, when I was, I would always feel bad. You know, like, oh, I shouldn't. Well, when I got older, you know, when I had to deliver a dead child, I was angry, bro. You know, when I had to bury my mom, I was angry. But here's his arms, even when you're angry. And still be like, I got you. I'm going to see you through. I haven't failed you. I haven't walked away from you. I am. He is still working on us. Praise God. All right, another scripture. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to start right from the beginning of the book. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. What a promise. Everywhere you go, it's yours. I'm going to be with you. Okay? From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. What a promise. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I'm not going to leave you. I didn't leave Moses, and I'm not going to leave you. What a promise. People have gone before us for this great truth. They've gone before us, and just as they have gone before us and blazed the trail, that same anointing and power is on us to blaze the trail. We have work to do, because the next point is simply this. God's will is always salvation. His will is not about the new car you've been praying for. Not that he's not going to want to give it to you, but that's not really his will. His will, even that promotion, our comfort isn't really his will. Oftentimes, God wants us to be uncomfortable because that's when we change and grow and lean on him, right? His will, though, is to reach the lost. That's it. And we can get so consumed in our own little bubble, our own little life problems, that sometimes it really does take, you know, the Lord giving us a swift kick, like, honey, it's not about you. Get out there and go be my hands and feet. You know, sometimes we do. We just got to swallow our pride, ask God to forgive us, and say, Lord, let me be in tune with your will for me. What is your will for me? Sometimes his will isn't all roses. My former pastor used to say that God's will isn't always a steak on every plate and a Cadillac in every garage. And it kind of stuck with me because we want to think that, woo, I want to be a millionaire and Jesus' name's going to bless me. It's going to be awesome. Right? And sometimes God's like, no, honey, no. Okay? I'm going to put you through the wilderness first. Even Jesus went through the wilderness before his ministry. Don't despise the wilderness experience, because that's when you meet God. That's when God shows up and shows you who he is, right? And that's exactly like with Joshua. I mean, they're coming from this awesome, holy man, and Moses has just passed. And boy, talk about big shoes to fill. You know, you want me to lead the people? But once again, God promises him, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And it's under Joshua's leadership that the walls of Jericho come down. Those great walls, it is through his leadership that the children of Israel found success and were able to walk through to the promise. I'm telling you right now, some of us, we are sitting on a call and do, and we might have a lot of questions, but I am here today if for no other reason than to tell you, way back when is the same God today who say, hey, I'm still here and I'm still seeing you through. If we're not careful, we can interrupt. If we're not careful, we get in the way, we can interrupt his plan. Or we make decisions without praying. I'm that you're not in it and you're not, you know, moving me in the direction I should take. We're very quick, a mess of our own doing. And now we feel like we're backtracked. Now we're taking, it's not meant to be. Maybe it was myself that told me that promise all those years ago. I'm right on in. So we have to be careful that our decision-making process starts always with him. Lord, lead me in the steps that I should take. And if anything is not your will, shut that door. I'm going to tell you guys, it took John and I 18 years to come to North Carolina. We have been praying for 18 years. But our prayer was always, if it is not your timing, if it is not your will, then keep those doors shut. You want to talk about frustration when it's the middle of winter and we got 3 feet of snow. I'm like, Lord, you can open those doors at any time. Right? Hallelujah. And now this winter, I'm like, woo, they're getting all that snow. I'm like, hallelujah, Jesus is good. He delivered me. Praise the Lord. That was fleshly. I'm sorry. Let me get back on track. But I mean, 18 years waiting for the Lord to open that door. But when he opened it, there was no doubt. Our house sold in a day. It wasn't even 24 hours. And boom, came right in. The job was immediate. Boom, there you go. It was just, whoa, oh my goodness. You know, John and I go, I guess we're going to go to North Carolina. You know, we've been talking for so long. But we knew way back when that was where the Lord was leading us. And my father-in-law, he gave us such good godly wisdom when they had first moved here. And he says, everything is a process. Remember, you told us that. Everything happens in its time. Everything is a process. And how right he was. End results. We're fascinated by the finished product. But please don't make me go through the process. I want the end result. So, you know, I write books and I've got people that will say, oh, you know, Sister Genius. Or I've got people even at work now, I've got a great book idea. Let me run it by you. And I'm like, oh, sure. You know, I'm all for that. I'll help. I love it. But the very first question I'll ask is, have you written it yet? Why do I ask that? Because everybody's got ideas, but until you put it down on paper, I mean, there's really only so, right? Same thing with anything in our lives. It's work, but yet you're resistant to his work in your life. The rich young ruler, when he came to sell everything, get rid of it all. And it was too great a sacrifice for him to miss. Of course it does. Jesus said, take up your cross. That's sacrifice. It does, but it doesn't. It's going to require you on your knees. Intimate relationship. He wants that from you. But more than that, he wants you to that he can do his work when you're resisting him. Think of it like a tug of war. We have to die to our flesh daily. We have to put it up. You want me to walk. And his purpose will be fulfilled in you. Why? Because he will finish the work. He will finish the work. And even if you've ever made mistakes in your life, he'll still finish the work because that's how awesome he is. And even if you doubt him, he'll still finish the work. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. If he's given you a promise, he cannot lie. He can't. If he has promised you something, he will see you through. You have to hold on to that. And when you are staring, I'm really feeling it today that somebody is facing that mountain and you are just staring at it and you are overcome. You're overcome with worry and you're overcome with anxiety and you're overcome with questions. But I'm here to tell you that God is sovereign. He will see you through. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So hold on. Hold on to him. Praise God. You write all these notes and then you look at it, I'm like, ooh, wow, I didn't say that. But I am giving you all the scriptures, so it's all good, right? It's all good. All right, turn to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23, and I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 14. This is about Paul. And the night following, the Lord stood by him. I love that. The Lord stood by him. You're going through something? God's right by your side. I'm right here. Rest. So awesome. Okay. And said, be of good cheer, Paul. Love it. Encouragement. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Okay, that's God's promise. That's what God's telling Paul to do. So Paul's like, or God's like, I've got you, but you're not done. You're going to go to Rome. I need you there. So the problem with this, though, is that he was not welcomed where he was at. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will not eat nothing until we have slain Paul. So the next point, what do you do when the enemy is facing you down? What do you do when you're walking it out? I'm walking in truth. I got this. I'm praying every day. I'm encouraged. I know God's with me. I know he's faithful. And the enemy shows up. And the enemy will use really anyone to attack you. Okay? And he knows our weaknesses. Boy, I wish I could say that he didn't. He doesn't, but he does. Okay? Me is all about control. I'm very organized. I like control. I like to know that this interrupts that. You know, I can start feeling that tension, that stress, you know? Because is that I have to be careful because the enemy, I know the enemy knows that. I just have to step back. And in Jesus' name, Lord, you've got this. This is just a hiccup. You've got this, okay? When we first moved here and I got hired at Thomasville High School, we were shouting. We were so happy because it was the door the Lord used to get us here. But it did not take long to figure out that it was a challenge for me. And I would come home and I just would be in tears because I want to help all these kids. They're broken. I just want to help. I want to help them. And the issues were huge. There were so many issues. And I would just feel overwhelmed and stressed and filled with worry. And I just got to the point and John hated it. He's like, it's like you're sad all the time. You're stressed all the time. And I had a hard time with it. Because I'm like, God, you could have given me a college job right from the beginning. You could have just given, you're God, you can do anything. Why would you make me walk through that? You know, but we can't question his divine hand. What I knew is that he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. And he was with me. And what I knew is that I just needed to trust him. So then I changed my prayers. And my prayer was no longer, get me out. It was, God, let me see them as you see them. Let me see them, Lord, as you see them. And let me love them. If I'm the only Jesus that they see. And it was Sister Tammy Bryant, who's not here today, but she helped me. And Sister Pam helped me. And we're just giving me just words of encouragement. Like, you are the only Jesus they might see. You know? And so I just changed that mindset. And was it still tough? Yes. Not going to lie. It was still very challenging. But the Lord did show me all of these kids that were just needing someone to believe in them, someone to love them, someone to help them. And when you get past all the layers of attitude and disrespect and all of that, that was what was at the core. Was it still a challenge? Yes, it was. But I cannot doubt that for whatever reason, the Lord had me there. Am I grateful he brought me out? Yes, I am. So, hallelujah. But what I'm saying is that Paul had to go through something that he did not understand. So God's saying, be encouraged, you're going to go to Rome. And then it's like, boom, he finds out that everybody's against him. And they're not eating or drinking until they get him. They're going to get him and they're going to kill him. And they're not going to eat or drink until it happens. So you get a promise and then you get opposition. That's a challenge. God loves you. He's like, this is what I want you to do. I'm taking you to the next level. And then immediately, of course, the enemy's going to do that. When you feel that, and I know we've heard this before, but when you feel that opposition, when you feel that, you should rejoice because you know that you're in the steps of the Lord. It's like, hey, if this is happening, then I know that God's still working on me and that this is going to, it's going to come through. He's going to work this out, right? But just believe that. I know it's hard when we're going through it. I know. I could write a book on it, but I'm telling you, He's going to see you through, just like he saw Paul through. Paul, how many times was he imprisoned? How many times was he beaten? I wish I could tell you that Paul's journey was easy. His journey wasn't easy. But it was his trust in God that saved his life many times over. Saved him from shipwrecks. It saved him from poisonous snake bites. And every single example, if you look, it was because God wanted to minister to someone in wherever Paul was. And God's like, I got it. You're going to go through this, but I'm with you, and I want you to minister. And that's why Paul's considered the greatest missionary ever, because he just trusted and he went through it and he just persevered. And I just want to be like that. I'm not there yet, but I want to be like that. How are we doing on time? Do I have one more? Okay, got a few more minutes. All right, let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. I told you we're going to just run all over scriptures. I love Bible stories. It comes from being a church kid. That's why church is so important. Because I'm telling you what, these stories get into your heart and they don't ever let go. And when trials come, you hold on to those scriptures. I'm telling you what, I think that there is no greater ministry than Sunday school, because it's raising up a generation of believers. And I'm telling you what, I love Bible stories. And it started because my teachers love Bible stories. And I had awesome teachers who taught it. All right, whoop, off on a tangent. Okay, Exodus chapter 3, let's start with verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, so that's the call of God, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. So God's calling him. I'm going to put you right at your mortal enemy. Go. Moses is like, what you talking about? All right. That thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I? Gideon said the same thing. That I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel. One of the things that I posted on Facebook not too long ago, but when he can use a prostitute to help the children of Israel, and if he can use a poor question him, he can use me. And here's the deal. Sometimes grandeur, and it isn't the platforms. So reach out. He would show you where he wants you to minister. Sometimes he wants you to do something that they're afraid to even talk. Ministry, all of it. Ministry is every single day you wake up. It's going to the homeless shelter. You know, it's reaching people outside of your comfort zone. That's the will of God. So instead of looking at this massive, you know, I'm going to be there and I'm, you know? And so with Moses, though, yes, he's calling him to this huge thing. And of course, Moses is like, okay, who am I, Lord? Right? And he said, I'm on 12 now, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. Then, or when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Then he gives him a promise. This is what you're going to do, and it's going to happen. That's the promise. It's going to come to pass, and then you're going to serve God with your people right here on this mountain. That's a big promise. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. God is calling each one of us, and as I bring this to a close, insignificance is something that a lot of us struggle with. We might not talk about it, okay? I know it's one of the reasons why I wrote the book that I wrote, is because we don't like to talk about it. We like to wear the masks that show that we have it all together. But insignificance is something that can hinder the call of God in our lives if we're not careful. And it is something that the enemy will use if you give the enemy access to that in your life. Let me tell you something. God does not need you qualified. I think I posted this the other day. He just needs you willing. He used a donkey to speak. Okay? So that, put that insignificance aside. I'm not saying be prideful. No. Humility tells you you're not good enough. and say, the devil is a lie. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Called you. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter where. He is going to finish the work. He's going to see you through, because he is not. My brothers and sisters, and I know I kind of took us all over the place, but if anything else, when you walk out from this, he has started in you. Amen. You are dismissed.